Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was in high school, Emily and I were both a part of a ministry called Ongoing Ambassadors for Christ, where youth would gather in various regions of the country to join in Bible study and help out with the worship service and Sunday school and help out at a nursing home and various other activities that we would do in order to continue to grow in our faith. And at the middle of each one of those weekends was an opportunity for us to go out witnessing within the community. So two by two, we were sent out into the community to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we would use a variety of methods in which to share the gospel. For example, one of those methods went like this. For God so loved, and we would put the person's name in, so for God so loved Annika, that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to suffer, die, and rise in victory for Annika, so that believing in Jesus as the Savior from sin, Annika shall not perish, but Annika shall have everlasting life. It was a simple, personalizing way of taking John 3:16 to speak to those people in what we called the good news method. And good news is exactly what has been given to us. The gospel of Jesus Christ has entered our ears, it has entered our hearts, and it even has been placed upon our lips in with and under the bread and the wine in the Lord's Supper. And Jesus himself sends us out through our vocations to share this good news of great joy that will be for all people. What you may have noticed, though, is that as you live in this world, is that people are becoming less and less receptive to this gospel good news. In 2014, Pew Research reported that from 2007 to 2014, that the number of atheists, agnostics, and nuns, nuns being those that don't report any affiliation with any religion, rose from 16% of the population to over 23% of the population. Whereas in that same seven-year time span, the number of Christians declined from just over 80% to just under 70% of the population. Not to mention the fact that less than 20% of the population is in weekly worship. Now, that may serve as some disheartening statistics, but it does show that what is said in the gospel reading is absolutely true. The harvest is plentiful. And often what we see in the world when there is plenty or plentiful opportunity is that people tend to flock toward it. Well, not so here in this regard. Within our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, it was predicted about 20 years ago that there would be a shortage of pastoral candidates coming out of the seminary to fill all of the calls that would be out there in the field here in America. And though that prediction was a bit premature, it's now happening. In the spring, when both seminaries had their call day, there were not enough pastoral candidates to fill the amount of calling congregations out just here in our country. As our gospel tells us, the laborers are few. But did you notice in our text that when Jesus sends out the 72, that they are not pastors? In fact, they're not even the disciples. The disciples were sent out in Luke chapter 9. This is Luke chapter 10. Here, these are other followers of Jesus that he appoints to go out and share this good news of great joy. Which is good news, it's great news for all of us. It means that we are all called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ together. Now granted, the church still needs to call men to serve as pastors to rightly preach the word of God, absolve sins, and administer the sacraments. God's word and our Lutheran confessions are very clear on that. But this sharing of the gospel is for all of us to do both individually and collectively. And the reason for this is really quite simple. The task is too big. The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. So Jesus sends you, and he sends you, and he sends you, and he sends me too. He sends you to tell your family members that Jesus was sent by God himself to suffer, die, and rise in victory so that they could have eternal life. He sends you to tell your kids that they can have forgiveness in Jesus Christ when they sin. He sends you to tell your neighbors of the peace of God that passes all understanding that's given in Jesus Christ when they are pouring out their fears and their anxieties that are going on in their lives. He sends you to tell of Jesus Christ and the hope of the resurrection when you have a coworker who is saying they just had someone die in their family. Jesus sends you. As it says in the book of John, He is the vine and we are the branches. And because of Him, we will bear much fruit. He's going to work wonders through you. He does work wonders through you. Though the statistics seem rather daunting, this world may seem bleak, God has sent you to be a channel of grace and forgiveness and love to a people that desperately needs to hear it. Doing this, though, is not easy. And Jesus Himself minces no words about that. He tells those 72 that they are going to be like lambs sent among wolves. He tells them to bring nothing, and He says that some people are going to receive you and welcome the conversation, where others are going to reject you and want nothing to do with you. No doubt we can attest to this. I know I can. When I would door-to-door witness through ongoing Ambassadors for Christ, there were times where I certainly felt under attack. Then there were other times that people welcomed us on in and welcomed the conversation. It was awesome, especially when they served a cup of coffee. Just saying. And then there were other times where the door was slammed in my face. And that wasn't the easiest to take. But then again, these were strangers. I could more readily move on to the next house because I didn't know the person. It's a whole different thing when it's someone we love and care about. Most of us probably aren't out door-to-door witnessing. Most of us are in the thick of witnessing our faith in Jesus with those we know on a personal level. A family member, a neighbor, a friend. And what Jesus tells those 72 is something that we often find to be true. We tell them about Jesus. And immediately it's like the conversation shifts and it's like we're under attack. We try to talk about our faith and it's like we're getting the door slammed in our face because they reject the faith altogether. Rarely does it seem like they just roll out the red carpet for such a conversation. And I don't know about you, but when this happens to me, I often walk away wondering where I went wrong. And then I go through the whole conversation in my head and I conclude that I must have messed up somewhere. So what began with good intentions of sharing my faith becomes yet another day that I walk with a heap of guilt upon my shoulders. And why is this? Because if I was going to go to all the work to share the faith, well, then that person should have been converted right then and there. Right? I grieve this reality for so many of my family members who don't know Jesus as I do. I was just talking to my mom the other day, in fact, the past couple of days here, and how difficult it is when you really can't talk about your faith and your love of Jesus because the door's been slammed in your face with your own brothers and sisters, with your nieces and nephews. Perhaps you're with me on this. It's curious, though. When Jesus walked the earth, was He always received with open arms? Did people readily receive everything that He had to say, and when He talked, everybody just converted right there instantly? What's so difficult to remember when we're in the thick of witnessing our faith in Christ is that Jesus Himself was more often rejected than received. And that's the Savior of the world we're talking about. So if His statistics weren't that great, what makes us think that ours are going to be better? It would seem that somehow when we share the gospel, we can sometimes get the cart before the horse. We can sometimes think that we are in the driver's seat and that things should happen in our time, in our way, and on our terms. And here's where we need to really pull back the reins with a good old, whoa, let's hold on there. Jesus does send you, but he is still the Lord of the harvest. The results belong to him. We are given this great privilege to plant the seed of the gospel into people's lives. But the growing, the harvest, that belongs to him. So does the time of the harvest belong to him. Why do you think he told those 72 not to bring anything with them? It was so they wouldn't become too puffed up with pride, thinking that somehow they were responsible for whatever had happened. He would provide all that they needed. From the shoes on their feet, sandals probably, the food in their bellies, to the message that was on their lips. And so it is with you. He richly and daily provides you with all that you need to support this body and life. Through his word and his sacrament, he equips you and sustains you for all that you're going to have to endure when you share the gospel. Because you can't make it on your own. You are going to be rejected. You are going to be attacked. You are going to get discouraged, and you're going to want to throw in the towel and just give up. It comes with the territory of being sent by Jesus. But take heart. There is good news of great joy that is for all people, and it's for you too. For God so loved the world that he sent his Son for you, ahead of you. Rejected by his own family, his peers, his nation and its leaders, the world, even by his own dad, his Father in heaven. Jesus was stripped of everything he had and then attacked by a group of ravenous wolves that called for his crucifixion. And led like a lamb to the slaughter, he bled and died for you. And with that blood, he signed your name in the book of life so that when people attack you or people reject you, you need not back down in fear. Your salvation is secure. No one can take from you what he has purchased for you. Your salvation has been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So rejoice. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven, and go in the confidence that Jesus sends you. Jesus sends you to share his good news of great joy that is for all people. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God that surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.